Well, Trust, we are thankful to be here today and appreciate seeing each of you appreciate Brother Jim's prayer and as well as the song service that's gone before. I'd like to direct your attention this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 12. Last time we spoke to you, I believe, about the things that God does to our heart. And today, Lord, being our helper, we'd like to talk to you in particular about a verse of Scripture here in Hebrews that reads, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." What I'd like to talk to you about this morning, the Lord willing, is the Word of God being quick and powerful, and how much we need to recognize the power of the Word of God. After all, the reason that we're here today is owing to the carrying out what God had in his mind to do. He didn't turn to a group of engineers, you know, in heaven and say, "Now you engineer angels, here's my plan. How do we need to carry it out?" No, he just spoke. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. That word "said" is probably the most overlooked word in the beginning of the Bible. But it's probably one of the most important words. In my mind, it'd be the second most important word in that verse that tells us a whole lot about what we need to understand in order to understand what goes on after that verse. God said, "Let there be light." There was light. I've said this before. You know, I believe in the Big Bang, not as a theory, but as a fact. God said, "Let there be light," and bang, there was light. That's all there was to it. Now, that's easy for me to say, but it was a whole lot easier for God to do. He said, "Let there be light," and there it was. It was light. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So right away, the Scripture shows us how powerful the Word of God is, and even how quick it is as far as the timing is concerned. You know, quick. God said it. It happened. And everything that God did from that point forward, you know, he took 6 days to create. Everything that he did in 6 days, he could have done in 6 seconds if he'd have wanted to. In fact, I'm whatever enough to believe he could have done it in 0.6 seconds if he'd have wanted to. But God chose to spread it out over 6 days. But either way, however he did it, he shows right away in creation. That's the reason that the first chapter of the Scriptures is so important, because it sets the tone for the other 1188 chapters, of which, of course, the Bible is divided in that way for our convenience, of course. And it's incumbent upon us to understand how important the Word of God is in creation, and how important the Word of God is in every aspect of who we are and who God is. You know, at least to some degree, you know, there's still the understanding among some men and people, you know, that how important a man's word is. You know, that there are people that we know, there are people that you know, that, you know, if they tell you something, if they make a promise, or if they give you certain information that you know, you don't run to the internet and try to confirm what they've told you. You have enough trust and confidence in them and so forth that if they tell you that this is the way it is, well, then that's, you know, you accept it. Well, that's the way the Word of God ought to be. Amen. Whenever the Apostle Paul instructed the young preacher Timothy to study the Word, it was not to prove the Word. It was not to see if the Word was, that it was what, you know, it said it would be, but it was to study the Word for what it is, that this is the Word. This is what God says, and so Timothy, you study the Word. And in studying the Word, you'll find that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, etc. That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto every good work. So the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now I want to get to that for just a little bit. First, before I get to quick and powerful. The Word of God is, Paul says, it's sharp. Now, what does that mean to you? You know, we can use sharp in a lot of different scenarios. You know, a lot of people have a skill. They can, you know, I have several knives, pocket knives, et cetera, and all the stones, you know, I can get my knives sharp enough to do most of what I want to do with them. But now some men that I know of, and, you know, I'm just saying men because I've never seen a woman do this. I'm sure there are women that can do this. But all the ones that I've seen do it, they can take that stone, whetstone, whatever you want to call it, and they can put in, as we say, an edge on a knife that you could literally, you know, split a hair into. I mean, they have that skill. Now that's sharp. Yeah. You know, that is really sharp. Well, we use the word sharp in that way, but we also use the word sharp in other ways, don't we? You know, we talk about a person who's witty. You ask them a question or they're involved in a conversation, and they always know just what to say, how to say it. We say, now they're pretty sharp. Now, you know, we also find the word sharp used in many times, like husbands. You know, they say, honey, you've been working hard all week, and I'm going to take you out to supper tonight. And but now we're not going to go just like we are. Let's just have a date. You know, we've been married for 50 years, but you know, we can still go out on a date, can't we? So they do that. You know, and she comes out, you know, all dressed up, and you know, and he tells her, "Why, you just look gorgeous. I mean, you're beautiful. Why, you look pretty sharp." So we can see the word sharp used in a lot of different ways. And, you know, we could take the time to apply all of those definitions and all the ways that we use the word sharp to this word, to the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is all of those things. Of course, the primary way that it's used here is, of course, in sharpness, in that it being to divide asunder the soul and the spirit. In fact, he uses, you know, it's like a two-edged sword. And it's that sharp. It's been gone under the honing of a skilled craftsman. And he's got that sword sharp. You don't want to be cut by it. But then you might want to be cut by it. You know, if I've been under the knife, so to speak, like maybe most of you have, and a time or two, at least a couple of times, and maybe more than that, you know, in trying to be lighthearted about a serious situation, the surgeon comes into my room and he says, "Mr. Bond, we're going to perform this procedure on you, and we're going to do this. We're going to, you know, we're going to take this out, or we're going to, you know, we're going to cut you open here and so forth." Do you have any questions? How sharp is your knife? I want it sharp. I want it sharp. I don't want no ragged cuts. You know, I want it sharp so that it'll make a neat, quick cut like it needs to be and gets the job done. Because in those kind of things, the sharper the knife, the better the job gets done, and actually, you know, it's better for you. I mean, if you got to be cut, you might as well do it with a sharp knife, you know, and do it well. Well, God's word is sharp. I mean, it's sharp in every one of those senses. But the Apostle Paul had in particular mind that it was sharper than a two-edged sword. And here he uses the word piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now I would say, considering what little I understand about the soul and what I understand about the spirit, that it would take a sharp sword to divide, to know where to divide. You know, one of the things that any craftsman needs to learn and has to learn whenever they're using knives, whether he's a local meat cutter or he's a wood craftsman, works with leather, whatever his craft is not only knowing, you know, his tool and that it needs to be sharp, but knowing how to use that tool and where to cut, et cetera, to get the best result. Well, the Word of God could be likened that way as well. And by the way, my understanding of this text and the intent of the Apostle Paul and the intent of the Spirit is that he's not just talking about regeneration or when we're born again. You know, one of the most complete pictures of being born of the Spirit of God is circumcision. In fact, the scriptures use the word being circumcised in the heart by the Spirit of God. Now, circumcision, we're all adults here today. Circumcision, if you're going to be circumcised, well, don't you think that you need a sharp knife? You know, it's like with any surgery. You need a sharp instrument. Well, whenever God circumcises our heart, he uses the sword of the Spirit. And he circumcises the heart in such a way that he gets the job done. And it's a clean job. And it's a well-suited job. And it's a job done by a skilled craftsman who knows how to use the sword as he needs to. And of course here, we find that sword is, or that the word of God is likened unto that sword. And he says it's quick and powerful. Now the word quick here is used as a verb. The word of God is quick. It describes an action of the word, what the word is doing. And it's not quick in the sense of being fast, of getting from point A to point B in a quick amount of time. The word quick here, simply defined, is lively. It tells us here that the word of God is lively. It's alive. It's quick. You know, it's like you ever cut your fingernail? You cut it down into the quick. You know, the fingernail, the part that you're cutting is dead. That's the reason it's where it's at. And so you cut it. But now there's a part of that fingernail that's not so dead. And if you cut too deep, you know, you cut it in the quick. You cut it in the part that's living. That's why it hurts so. You know, this part out here that's dead, that you're cutting. You know, you don't feel that other than the sensation that it gives to that part which is alive, which there's a lesson in that, you know, a beautiful picture there. But anyhow, you cut that part. You don't want to cut the part that's still living because it'll cause you a great deal of pain, or it can. And believe me, I can tell you that from the voice of experience, you know. But so the Word of God is likened to that. It's quick. It's alive. And we need to, the lesson that we should get from that is to recognize that God's Word is alive. Whether you're talking about the created Word of God, the spoken Word of God, the written Word of God, you know, the Spirit of God, you know, or even the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. You can apply those definition of quick to any of those words. In fact, you remember speaking about the capital W-O-R-D and thinking about that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus Christ himself said, you know, I didn't come to give peace. You know, I didn't come to give peace. I came to divide asunder. You know, I came, and Jesus Christ has that effect on people. You know, whenever people began to really be affected by the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, it's, you know, there's peace in knowing him, there's comfort in knowing him, but there's strife and trouble. Because with Jesus Christ, listen, it's the dividing asunder. It's either or. It's not and. You know, God doesn't say love me and the world. He says forsake the world and love me. He says it's me. He says I'm a jealous God. You know, in fact, he says my name is jealous. He told the nation of Israel that through his mouthpiece Moses. That's how he started out giving them the Ten Commandments. He said, I'm going to give you a word. I'm going to give you 10 words. The Ten Commandments are 10 words. And he said, listen, I want you to understand who I am as the authority in giving you these words. And I could say a whole lot about what he told them, what he was. But one of the things he said, my name is jealous. And he says, I'm jealous over my word. And this word that I'm going to give you, if you depart from it, if you do everything contrary to what I'm going to tell you to do, my words will cause you great trouble if you forsake my word. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, His word, of course, pricks us in the heart. But we speak of that as mainly referring to regeneration. But that's not the last time God can prick you in the heart. Amen. But God not only can prick you in the heart, but he can cut you to the heart. As he did to some people in the book of Acts. Got to move on here. The word of God is quick and powerful. That word powerful here, of course, we could think about powerful in the sense of strong, powerful, and God's word certainly is that. As we've already mentioned, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God said that there be light, and there was light. Now, that everything that we know about light, God spoke it into existence. And one of the most powerful forces in this world that we don't really think about in the terms of power a lot of times is light. Is light. You know, there's power in it. And, you know, people that have eye problems can tell you the power that there is in light. You know, as you begin to, a lot of the diseases of the eye, the reason they're affect your vision is because they mess up the ability of light to go and do its thing through the retina and so forth and project an image. Well, then if there's things in the eye that obstructs that process, or you know, messes it up anyway, in any way, it affects the vision as it comes back out. So we know how powerful that is. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's powerful. It's active. It's not only active, but it's operative. God's Word is powerful in the sense that it gets the job done. You know, a lot of times we speak of power in our world, and there may be people who have power that may not get a whole lot done with it. You know, sometimes we talk about individuals who have more strength than they know what to do with, or they don't know how to use the strength that they've got. But God knows how to use His power. I mean, you know, there's none of that lost with God at all, whatsoever. So in 1 Corinthians, I want to turn and just take a quick look here. the Apostle Paul uses this in his opening statement to the church at Corinth in chapter 1, verse 24. Well, let's start reading with verse 22. But the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, I want you to think about this. That word "and" there can mean even. You know, and so think about it when he says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, even the wisdom of God. Part of the power of God is God's wisdom. You know, there's power in knowledge. You better believe it. You know, you better believe it. If God were to appear to me today and say, you know, you're getting to the end of your life, and I'm going to give you two choices. Do you want power in your body, or do you want power in your mind? That's a no-brainer. Pardon the pun. I'd rather have an active mind. If it's a choice. Now, if it's an ultimate choice, it's say, Lord, why are you making me choose between the two? Now, if you really want to know how I feel about it, it's both. I'd like to be like who was it in the scripture that his natural force was not Moses. 120 years old, his natural force was not abated. His mind was just as sharp as it had ever been. I'd like to get to be 120 and be like Moses. Lord, that'd be fine with me. But if the Lord says, no, sorry, that was reserved for Moses, you got to choose one or the other. I'd rather have my mind, wouldn't you? let's hasten on here. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. Powerful, active, operative. It's powerful in that it gets the job done. Operative and effectual. You know, if power is used on something, it's going to have an effect upon it. You know, if I take my hammer and hit that nail right there instead of the nail that I'm supposed to. But either way, if I hit either nail, the power is going to have its effect on the nail that I hit. If I hit the nail I'm supposed to, that'll be a positive power. If I hit the nail I'm not supposed to, that won't be such a positive effect. But God's Word is powerful. It's effective. it gets done what it's supposed to get done. So the Word of God is quick and powerful. And we're thankful for God's Word. And I don't know if I said this in the beginning, but I'll say it for sure in the end. Let's not argue about what word the Word of God there he's talking about. Every word of God. If you're talking about God's spoken word, if you're talking about God's written word, if you're talking about the living word, what Paul said there, that the Word of God is quick and powerful, it applies to all three. It is, I would say it especially applies to the capital W, O-R-D. He's quick. He's powerful. I mean, in closing, quick and powerful. If we apply that to the Lord Jesus Christ, if any instance has ever proven that the Word of God is quick and powerful, it would be when Jesus Christ came out of that tomb. Why seek ye the living among the dead? That's what the word quick means, is living. Why seek ye the living among the dead? And death is powerful. probably if you would ask somebody, give them a quiz and say, all right, here's a piece of paper. Give me as many words as you can think of that are synonymous with the word power. How many people you think would put death on that list? Probably not very many, but it's a word that should be on that list because death is powerful. Eternal death is truly powerful. The damned shall die. They shall spend the rest of their existence in hell, dying forever. That's powerful. But the Word of God is more powerful than death.
Amen.
It's a greater power. And that's the power in which we depend. That's the power that sent Jesus Christ into this world to deliver us from the power of death. May the Lord add his blessings.
Amen.